begin the current daf Masechta, the Sukkah daf Chav Zayin. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the first two Parakim Masechta Sukkah, talking about the halachas of Sukkah and how one fulfills his chiyuv. So the Mishnah begins and tells us that Rabbi Eliezer says, Arba Esrei Suuda Yischayiv Adam Lecha B'Sukkah. A person is obligated to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah, and the Gemara will bring the source for this halacha. Achas b'yom, achas b'layla, one during the day, and one a nighttime meal. So 7 days of Sukkot times two will make 14 meals. V'chachamayim, they argue, and they say, ein l'dover kitzvah, there is no set amount how many meals you have to eat over Sukkot in the Sukkah. Rather, if you want to fast, you can fast, there's no problem. If you're going to eat, then you're not allowed to eat out of the Sukkah, then yes, of course, you're going to eat in the Sukkah. But obligatory? No, there's no meals that one has to eat in the Sukkah. Chutz milele yom tavishon shel chag b'vad. There is one exception. The first night of Sukkot, that is the one exception that one is not allowed to fast and has to eat a meal, and hence that meal that you have to eat has to be in the Sukkah, as the Gemara will learn. V'oidam Rabbi Eliezer. Another halacha that's a machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, the Rabbi Eliezer said, Mishloi ocho leili yom tavarishin. If someone did not eat that first obligatory meal of the evening, which according to everyone is obligatory, yashlim, he could complete this meal leili yom tavarachet shalchag. He could complete it the last night of the yom tavav sukkis, which is the yom tavav shmini atzeres, that although he's not eating the sukkah, which the Gemara will explain and ask that question, how could one complete it then? However, that's the statement of Rabbi Eliezer that he holds that if one didn't eat that first meal, on the first night, he could eat it by the last night of Yom Tov. V'chacham Rav Nachum say, Ein l'davar tashlumin. There is no way to complete and to make up for this lost meal of the first night of Sukkot. V'alzeh nemar, in reference to this, one can relate the pasuk in Kehelet that says, Mu'uvus lo yuchel liskin. It's something that's twisted that can't be fixed. V'chasarin lo yuchel imamnis. And something that's missing that won't be counted. It's too late. There's no way to complete it. Now the Gemara asks on the first halach of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason? Why does he hold that there have to be 14 meals eaten on Sukkot, one meal in the day and one meal at nighttime for all 7 days? So he says, because Teshuvu came to do it. It says in the Pasuk that for 7 days one should be Teshuvu, should dwell in Sukkot, which is came to do it the way you dwell in the regular house, which is Madira, just like in one's home, Achas B'yom, Achas B'layla. People normally eat a meal in the day and a meal at nighttime. So too, that's the obligations of the sukkah. It's telling you to live the same way you would in your home, to have one meal in the day and one meal at nighttime. The Gemara said, Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan understand this drasha of Teshu came to Dura? They say, you're right. It's Kedira the way you dwell in your home. But Madira, just like when one's home, Iboy Achal, Iboy La Yachal, he has the choice. If he wants to eat, he can eat. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. And that's how people are during the year. Av sukkah nami, ibay ochel, ibay la'ochel. Same thing is in one sukkah. If you want to eat, then yes, you eat it in the sukkah. We all agree that if you have to eat, you're eating the sukkah. But there is no obligation to actively go and eat a meal. It's only if you want to, then you do. And therefore, they say that besides the first night, there is no obligation of to eat these 14 meals in the sukkah. Now, the Gemara asked, and Ihachi, if that's the case, that's how they're learning the translation of Teshu came to Duru, the Chachamim, then Afila Leili Yom Tov Rishon Nami, then even the first night of Yom Tov should also be that one does not have to eat. Why did they agree to Rabbi Eliezer regarding the first night that one does have to eat that meal in the Sukkah? So that Amr B'yechin, the Meshurim B'shimin Yitzadok, that's a limud that we learn out that there's just an obligation to eat a meal on the first night. Now that meal, like any meal that you're eating, but just that there's an obligation, that's learned out from somewhere else that you have to eat a meal the first night of Sukkot. Because Nemer Kan Chamisha Asa. It says over here by the Yom Tov Sukkot, it's on the 15th of Tishrei. V'nemer Chamisha Asa B'chag HaMatzah, it also says the 15th of the month, which is the Yom Tov of Pesach, which is the 15th of Nisan. So we make a hekesh, make Gzer Shava, of Chamisha Asa, Chamisha Asa. That Malahal, and just like over there by Pesach, Leila Harishon Chayva, the first night, the Seder night, there's an obligation to eat a meal, Mikam Be'elech Rishos, but from here on, after the first day of Pesach, going forward, there's no obligation to eat any meals. As the Gemara learns in the last parak in Masechta Pesachim, that it says in the Pasuk, Sheshes Yomim Teichel Matzahs, for 6 days you should eat matzah, Ubayim Shvi Atzeres, and the seventh day should be a gathering. Now, on that, the Gemara darshins, it sounds like it's only saying that 6 days one has to eat matzah, but not the seventh day. And therefore the Gemara says that just like the seventh day, you see, obviously there's no obligation to eat matzah, it's just rishus, voluntary. Then we would also understand that even the first 6 days, there's also no obligation, it's just rishus. How do we see that? Because the seventh day originally was included in the pasuk saying that you should eat matzah all 7 days, as it says, shivas yom teichel matzahs, for 7 days you should eat matzah. However, it was included in one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTer Nedreshes Ben, which was, it was Yotze Min HaKlal. it was went out of the general rule, it was included in the 7 days, then in this pasuk, it removed it by saying only 6 days, and the seventh day is atzeres. That's lulama that comes to teach you that the eating of the matzah, which was said in reference to the seventh day, which was with the 7 days, that that wasn't obligatory. Now, that's only if you want to eat, then your eating should be matzah, it shouldn't be chametz. Now, that Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar and Reshben, one of them teaches, V'loy l'lamed al atzma yatzah. It's not being excluded to teach just regarding itself in regards to the seventh day, but rather, el l'lamed al klal kula yatzah. Rather, it's coming to teach regarding the entire category that it originally was from, which it was included in the 7 days should be eaten matzah, but now it's being removed and saying, oh, only 6 days, not the seventh day, which means the Rishos, it's reflecting on all the 7 days, including the 6 days before it, that they're also Rishos. And therefore, just like we see by Pesach, that from after the first night on, it's only Rishos, it's voluntary. Afkan Leila Harishon Chayva, so to hear by Sukkis, that only the first night obligatory. Mekama Eilach Rishos, but from here on, it's Rishos, not like Rabbi Eliezer that says that the 14 meals are obligatory, it's only the first night. Now, so the Gemara asks, however, V'hasa Menala, however, so you're comparing Sukkis to Pesach, so we understand how we see from the seventh day, reflecting on the first 6 days, that it's all Rishos. You don't have to eat matzah if you don't want to, so therefore, you don't want to eat in the Sukkah, you don't have to. But how do we see that by Pesach, at least, which we're trying to learn to Sukkos too, that the first night is a chayva? Because that was our question. If there's no obligation, so why the first night? Yes. So that amakra, that's what the pasuk says, be'erev teichlu matzahs. And the evening matzahs should be eaten, which is the night of the Seder, hakas of kabba chayva. The pasuk says, although the rest of Pesach, you write, you don't have to eat matzah if you don't want to. You don't have to eat a meal. But the first night, it's saying you have to eat matzah, you have to wash it, eat a meal. It's making it obligatory. That's how we know that the first night of Pesach, one has to eat. So from Chamisha Asa, we learn out to Sukkos too, that Sukkos, the first night of Sukkos, one also has to eat a meal. Now, once you're eating a meal, just like by Pesach, once you're eating a meal, it has to be matzah, not chametz. Here by Sukkos, once you're eating a meal, it has to be in the Sukkah, because everyone agrees the meal has to be eaten in the Sukkah. Only question was, is there an obligation to eat a meal? Once there's an obligation, the first night of Sukkot, that meal has to be eaten in the Sukkah. So that's the case where the Chum would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, but not that it has to be eaten for all 14 meals, like Rabbi Eliezer said. Now, the second halacha that was mentioned, a machlekes in our Mishnah, was Va'id Am Rabbi Eliezer. And moreover, what Rabbi Eliezer had said, that first night's meal, which was, if it was missed, one could complete it and make it up the last night of Sukkot, which is the night of Shemini Atzeres. Whereas the Chum said, no, they disagreed, and they said, you can't make it up, what's lost is lost. Now, the Gemara asks, V'omer Eliezer, but Rabbi Eliezer said in the first half of the Mishnah, the first case that they argued about, said, Arba Esri Sudas Chayiv Adam Lecha B'Sukkah. There are 14 meals that a person has to eat in the Sukkah. Achas B'Yoyim Ba'achas B'Layla, once during the daytime, once during the nighttime. Now, since the last night, one is not eating in the Sukkah anymore, and actually, if someone sits in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Sukkah, he actually transgresses a negative prohibition of Baal Tosef, not to add on to the days of Sukkah that you're sitting in the Sukkah. So then the question is, what is Rabbi Eliezer arguing on the Chacham? That if you miss the first night's meal, you can make it up on the last night's meal? How can you make it up? According to him, you have to be eating these meals in the Sukkah. Now, if you're eating these meals in the Sukkah, so how can you fulfill that on the last night, which is Shemini Atzeres, when you're not eating the Sukkah anymore? So I'm a bir, I'm a bami. He says, Chazabai Rabbi Eliezer. Actually, Rabbi Eliezer retracted in the end of the Mishnah from what he argued on the Chacham in the first half of the Mishnah. That the Chacham said, Ein l'davar kitzvah. They said that there is no set amount. If you want to fast, you can fast. Rabbi Eliezer actually ended up agreeing to them. Besides, like the Chacham themselves said, the first night of Sukkot, where there is an obligation according to everyone. So ultimately, the end of the Mishnah retracts from the first half of the Mishnah. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, you don't have to eat those 14 meals. However, what he does argue on them is regarding that first night's meal, which they too agree that there's a chiyuv, if one could be mashm that and make up for that on the last night of Sukkot on Shemini Atzeres, just like there's halacha generally with karbanos of a Yom Tov of Sukkot, where if you missed it on the first day, you could make it up all the way till Yom Tov Achron, all the way through Shemini Atzeres, and that is what they argued about with that same halachic comparison apply to the halacha of eating that first night's meal. Can you also make it up on the last day of Sukkot, that of Shemini Atzeres? Now the Gemara asks, Mashlim b'mat. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, fine, so he retracts, there is no chiv to eat 14 meals, and both agree, the Chum and Rabbi Eliezer, there's only the first night. The machlokes was, can you complete it, make up for it on the last night, on that of Shemini Atzeres? But the question is, Mashlim b'mat, with what are you going to be making up for it? Ilema b'rifte, if you mean to say with bread, in other words, he should eat a meal of Yom Tov, the last the last night of the last day of Sukkot, which Shmini Atzeres, with bread and with a whole meal and the whole spread, like it would have been on the first night of Yom Tov, you make up that same meal now on the last day of Yom Tov. But the question is, then ultimately, all he's doing is eating the meal of that last day's Yom Tov. In other words, what is recognizable to see that this is to make up the first meal of the beginning of Yom Tov? If every day of Yom Tov you always eat a meal, how is it recognizable that this is that meal and not the meal that you're going to eat on Shmini Atzeres? So there the Gemara says, Elamai Yashlam. What does it mean that Rabbi Leah says that you could complete it, you could make up for it on the last day of Yom Tov? Yashlam b'mini targim means they say you could make up for it with different types of desserts and dishes and appetizers, that you could bring different types of delicacies, like they had cooked leek and different fruits. That is what recognizable, why you bring out all these special dishes. That's to show that you're, that's it's not part of the meal, but rather it's making up for the meal that you missed the first night of Yom Tov. As the Gemara says, Tanam Hochi, similar in the Braisa, that would be enough of, quote, a meal to make up for the first meal that you missed, even though you're not going to sit down with a full-fledged, another double meal, besides the meal of Shmini Atzeres, to sit down to another meal of bread and meat, that we see that it's enough, even if you just bring out a special dish that shows that it's to make up for the first night. As the Braisa says, Im Hishlam b'mini targime, if you completed it with different types of delicacies, yatsa, one has fulfilled this chiyuv. Now, Rashi says, now, of course, all the more so, if besides eating the meal of Yom Tov, Shmini Atzeres, you made a double meal, you made a second meal, which normally you don't, with bread and meat, for sure you'd be able to be Yaitzi Yechiv of Hashlama, but what we're saying is that you don't need to, as long as you bring out a certain type of special dish, which is obvious, it's not part of the meal, that's a way of completing and making up for the first night of Yom Tov, which you had lost out on. Now, related to this, the Gemara says that Shol HaPetrapis, the one who was in charge and the leader of the household of Shol Agrippas HaMelech, of King Agrippas, he asked Ezra Eliyaz, he asked him the following question. He says, Kagoyin ani, let's say somebody like me, She'eini rogel lechol elasuda achas bayim, that I'm only accustomed to eating one meal a day. I don't eat two meals a day. Mahu sha'ich elasuda achas, what's the halacha if I could eat one meal a day in the sukkah? Ve patr, I'll have exempted my chiv. You're saying that there's a chiv to eat two meals every day and that you have to eat. Now what's the halacha? Could I eat just one meal? So Amalai said to him, look, look, every single day, you accustom yourself to eat many different appetizers, which then open up your stomach and get your digestive juices going so that you can then eat the bread meal and to get the food in, to get your appetite going. So that you're doing l'chvay da'atzmecho, you do it for your own honor so that you can fill yourself up and feel good. Now you can't eat a little bit more for the honor of your creator, for Hashem. You're all concerned about, oh, every day I don't eat. Now I don't want to be able to eat the meals that you're saying I have to. Say, look, you do eat more so that it should work for you. You should eat a little bit more that it works for Hashem. Another question this apotropos asked Rabbi Eliezer. He said, let's say someone like me, I have two wives, achas b'tveria, achas b'tzipori, v'yeshli shtei sukkas, and therefore I have two sukkas, achas b'tveria, achas b'tzipori. I have one by each wife. Mahu she'etzim esukkah l'sukkah, what's the halacha? Can I go sukkah hopping from one sukkah to another to eat and sleep today over here in this one, and tomorrow I'm going to eat and sleep in the other one? Ve'patr, and I'll fulfill my chiv. I'll be in sukkas, I'm just going to be swapping sukkas one day here, one day there. Amalai, Rabbi Eliezer told him, no. I don't hold that you could do that. Sha'anyami, because I say, whoever goes out from one sukkah and then changes to a different sukkah, actually, not only is he not fulfilling, he will then retroactively be nullifying the days that he had sat in the sukkah beforehand, that it wasn't a fulfillment of the mitzvah. As the Gemara later on will teach, that really as a whole, you have to make a sukkah that will be your sukkah for 7 days. If you're going from this sukkah to that sukkah, that means neither one is the sukkah for 7 days. Hence, if you end up switching, you never had fulfilled your chiv of sitting in the sukkah. So related to this, the Gemara brings Tanya learned the Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer says, we continue on to Amud Beis, Ein yoytzim esukkah l'sukkah. So he says two halachas, which really come from the same halachic source. He says you can't go out from one sukkah to another sukkah. And that is, let's say you want to eat in this sukkah and sleep in that one, or if today you're going to do everything in the sukkah in this one, and tomorrow you're going to go to a different sukkah, you can't do that. Another halacha, ve'ein yoytzim sukkah b'chol ha'shamoed. You can't go ahead and, if you didn't sit in the sukkah on Yom Tov, on the first days, and now it's chol ha'moed, you can't go ahead and build the sukkah now. It's too late. V'chomayim, they argue on both halachas, and they say, yoytzim m'sukkah l'sukkah. You could go out from one sukkah to another sukkah. You could spend Shabbos in this sukkah, Sunday in a different sukkah, or you could eat in this one and sleep in that one. And you could also make a sukkah if, let's say, the first days, for some reason, you weren't able to make a sukkah. You can make it on the intermediary days of Chol HaShamayit. Now, B'Shavan, they both agree, however, She'im Nafla, if the sukkah was there, but it collapsed, She'chayish V'Bayin HaBachol HaShamayit, that you can go back and rebuild it on Chol HaShamayit. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that's okay. Now, the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason? Why can't you sit in this sukkah and that sukkah? What's the difference? So Amakra, the Pasuk says as follows in Devarim. It says, Chag HaSukkah is Tas L'Chashivas Yam. The Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is a reference also to the building of the Sukkah itself, should be made for 7 days. Which the drush is, Asei Sukkah Haru'uy L'Shiva. You have to make a Sukkah that's fit to be for 7 days. Now, that drasha teaches us both halachas of Eliezer. First of all, it teaches us that you cannot go ahead and make a sukkah on Chol HaShamayit, because that won't be making the sukkah for 7 days. It's going to be however many remaining days there are left to sukkah. But the other halacha it also teaches us. You cannot go from one sukkah to another sukkah, because then ultimately what you're defining it is that sukkah is not a sukkah for 7 days, because it's a sukkah for 7 nights maybe, or for 3 days, depending how long you spent in it. And because you're not spending all 7 days just in that sukkah, so from that drasha we learn out both halachas. What did the Rabbanan, what do they do with that drasha? So Hachikam Rechman, they say to the contrary, what the Torah is telling you when it says that for 7 days, that the sukkah you can make for 7 days, asay sukkah b'chag. It's actually saying you could build the sukkah on the Yom Tov, meaning in Chol HaShamayit, because it's saying that the sukkahs could be made for 7 days. Not that it has to be made for 7 days, but on 7 days, you could continue to make the sukkah, even if it's Chol HaShamayit. Now, we said that Rishav and Shem Nafla, but they both agree that if it collapsed, She'chayiz Rebbeinu Isa B'Chol HaShamayit, that they can go back and rebuild it on Chol HaShamayit. So the Gemara's Peshit is pretty obvious. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's still a Sukkah Shiva. It was built for 7 days, and he's only dwelling in this one. It just fell down, that he's putting it back up. Why would I think that you wouldn't be able to, according to Rabbi Eliezer, rebuild it on Chol HaShamayit? So that the Gemara says, I would think to say that this is not that same sukkah. That sukkah collapsed. This is a different sukkah. And hence, v'eina l'shiva, that means when you're rebuilding it, you're not really rebuilding, you're just building a new one. And therefore, it's not going to be a sukkah for 7 days. Hence, Rabbi Eliezer would hold that you cannot make it. Kamash v'lan, that's the chiddush, that no, since you dwelled in the sukkah on Yom Tov, this one is rebuilding this one, and hence it is called the sukkah for 7 days, because it's being mashlim, the first one, it's not a new one, rather it's the collapsed one that being rebuilt, so it is one that was made for 7 days. Now related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Tanya learn the b'raisa. Rabbi Eliezer says, K'shem she'en odem yoytzi dechavasa b'yem tavrishan shalchag b'lulavi shalchaver. So Eliezer, we're continuing with Rabbi Eliezer, that he says, another halacha related to the Yom Tov of Sukkot, he says that just like a person cannot fulfill his obligation with the dalad minim, with the lulav of his friend on the first day of Sukkot, the chsiv, like it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, it says, v'lekachtem lochem b'yem rishon, that you should take for yourself on the first day, pre-eitz hadar kapis tamarim, reference to the esrig and the lulav. Now, the drush is, when it says lechem, it means misha lechem. It has to be from yours, which excludes if it was stolen or if it was borrowed. So therefore, we know you can't use your friend's lulav, if it's at least in the Torah, in the halachas of borrowing. So kach einon miyotzi dechavasa besukasa shechavere. Unless you actually own it, which can be given over, but if you don't have the property rights, you're just using his, you similarly cannot fulfill your chiv of sukkah on the first days of sukkahs by sitting in someone else's sukkah, the chsiv, because it says a similar drasha. It says, Chag HaSukkah is Tas L'Chashiv HaSyamim, that the Yom Tov of sukkahs you should make for yourself 7 days. Now, L'cha says, Mishalcha, that it should be from yours. Same drasha, that everyone agrees by Lulav, same thing applies over here by sukkah, that it cannot be the others, it has to be your own. But Chomer, they argue in Rabbi Eliezer, and they say no. Though yes, we agree that there is such a drasha that one cannot fulfill his chiv of lulav and esrig by borrowing someone else's on the first day of sukkahs. However, one could fulfill his chiv of sukkahs by sitting in someone else's sukkah, even without acquiring the rights. I could sit in someone else's sukkah and fulfill it. Because there's a pasuk in Yikra that says, "Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yishuv b'sukkahs." All the citizens of the Jewish people should dwell in sukkahs. Now, Malama that teaches you, Shekol Yisrael ruuyim leisha b'sukkah achas, that the entire Jewish people are eligible to sit in one sukkah, because the way it's written is without a vav, basukkahs, sounds like that they could sit in one sukkah for the entire Jewish people. Now, obviously they can't fit at one time, but I mean one after another. Now, it's impossible, Rashi says, for the entire Jewish people to have a partnership in that sukkah of at least a worth of a pruta, And hence it must be the only way that everyone could be using that sukkah must be that whoever is the owner, because not everyone in the Jewish people could have a partnership to have at least some share in it, at least the Shavah Pruta to be considered somewhat an owner, because it's not going to be worth that much money, to have everyone a partner, must be that the only way they could be using it is because they're borrowing the rights, that they're just sitting in there, having permission to sit there. And hence you see that regarding the halachas of sukkah, it's different than the halachas of lulav, that one could use someone else's sukkah on the first days. Now, but then the Gemara asks, Rabban hai lecha mai darshibe. But then what do they do with the drasha that Rabbi Eliezer says with lecha? Just like we see that it says lecha, that has to be mishalcha. So why is it any different than the drasha that we say by lechem of lulav that says mishalchem? So that the Gemara says that mibayile lebute gezula. You're right. The lecha of sukkahs is excluding when it's not yours, but it's only excluding that when it was stolen, not yours. Avashu'ula, but borrowed, not yours, ksiv kol ezrach. Regarding that, the pasuk tells you that no, everyone could use one sukkah, which obviously means that it's not yours. Now, how do we understand? Does it have to be yours or not yours? So that's where it's split. On that, you have one place telling you that it's not yours if it was stolen, but if it was borrowed, then that is okay, even though it's not yours. And again, in contrast to lulav, where we say that any not yours, even that of borrowed, one would not fulfill his chiyuv with his friend's lulav. Now, then the Gemara asked Rabbi Eliezer. So, regards to Rabbi Eliezer, Hai kol ezrach mai ovedle. What does he do with kol ezrach? In other words, that pasuk seems to be indicating that an inclusion of kol, that everybody could be fulfilling a chiyuv, which sounds like from the pasuk, at least the way the Chum darshan, that everyone could be using one sukkah, which obviously is using someone else's sukkah, but Rabbi Eliezer says that one cannot use someone else's sukkah. So the Gemara says, Miboyle, he needs it for a different drasha. Legershin is garb in a time. He needs it for a convert that converted on in the middle of Yom Tov of Sukkot on Chol HaMoed. Or v'katanshin is gadol regarding a minor that became an adult, which is he got two pubic hairs, bein a time in the middle of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Now, that's what he says, that the term kol of kol ezrach, that's coming to be a riboy to include that also there one could make his sukkah in the middle of Chol HaShemayit. Now, although Rabbi Eliezer said that one has to make a sukkah for 7 days, you cannot make it on Chol HaShemayit. And that is what Rabbi Eliezer says. But this drasha of kol comes to include that there is an exception to that when someone was not able to make it beforehand. Either he had no chiv because he was a minor, or because he wasn't even Jewish then, and therefore that's what the pasuk is including, that they then those type of people will have a ribui, that they will be able to make a sukkah on Chol HaShemayit. Now the Gemara is Rabbanan. Where do they know that halacha that a katan or a ger could go ahead and make a sukkah in the middle of Yom Tov? So that the Gemara says, Kivin Sha'amru Eisen Sukkah B'Chol HaShemayit. Since, as we mentioned before, they hold everybody, even someone that had an obligation of sitting in the sukkah before sukkahs and he didn't, that you can go ahead and make the sukkah Chol HaShemayit, Shalei Itzrach, so then you don't need any more riboy of the krav, the pasuk, to say that kol will include a ger or a katan, which because of the kol shekein. If they hold, as they argue in Rabbi Eliezer, that everybody can make the sukkah Chol HaShemayit, even those which are mechuyev, and it doesn't have to be the Shabbos Yamim, most definitely a ger and a katan, which didn't even have the chiyuv beforehand, could for sure make the sukkah on Chol HaShemayit, and therefore they don't need kol ezrach to teach there, and rather they have that pasuk which is teaching that the entire Jewish people could be sitting in one sukkah, which obviously means to say, according to their opinion, that one could go ahead and borrow, or at least sit in someone else's sukkah, on the first is a sukkah, and that's okay. Nothing more continues with different statements by Rabbi Eliezer, some enigmatic conversations that he had with people. Tarmang Litna Braisa. Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, there was once in a story with Rabbi Eliezer, Shahalach Lahakbal Panei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Balud Beregel, that he came, which is a mitzvah, to go ahead and be Makabal Panei Rabbi, which means to visit one's teacher on a Yom Tov. So he once went on a Yom Tov to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, in Lud, which this was the first day of Yom Tov, and he had come to him already from before Yom Tov. So Amalai, so Rabbi Eliezer told him, Eloi, eincha mishayv siheregel? You're not from those who rest on a Yom Tov, which means to say, why aren't you home by your family, by your wife, and instead you're here by me, by your teacher? Shahay Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer used to say, mishabeach ani es atzlanin, I praise the lazy ones. And that is, even the lazy ones, which the reason why they don't leave their homes on Yom Tov is not because of the Yom Tov that they want to celebrate with their family, which is what Rabbi Eliezer is praising, because the entire year they don't leave because they're just lazy people. Still, Rabbi Eliezer says, I still praise them because they're still doing something appropriate. She'en yoytzim mibetein beregel, because they don't leave their homes during the Yom Tov, the chsiv, like it says the pasuk in Devarim. Samachta ato veisecha, you and your family, which includes your wife, you should rejoice with. And therefore he says, I like the lazy people. They're not going away places because you're not supposed to go away. You're supposed to stay home with your family. And therefore he was telling him, he says, what are you doing here? I know I'm your Rebbe, but you don't belong here. You belong with your family. But the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? But Vamar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Minayin shechayv adam l'hakpal p'nei rabbi b'regel. From where do we know that one is required to go ahead and visit his Rebbe on the Yom Tov? Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Melachim Beis, which this pasuk is the husband of the Isha Shunamis told her when she told him, she says, oh, let me go and run quickly to the man of God and then I'll come back. He told her, Maduatoy lechase lavahim, why are you going to the man of God today? Lechaydish v'lechabbis, it's not Rish Chaydish, it's not Shabbos. Now, that's what he said. He didn't know why she was going. He didn't know the whole story. However, Mechla, one thing we could infer from there is, the Mechaydish v'shabbis mechayv inish, like Buli Api Rabbe. That obviously, this is the drasha that Rabbi Yitzchak said, that obviously that on Yom Tiv, which is on Rish Chaydish and Shabbos, these types of times, there is an obligation to go be Mechalb Pnei Rabbe, which is the halacha we know, it's Shalosh Regalim, of visiting one's teacher. And therefore, how could Rabbi Yitzchak say you don't belong or you belong home? But Rabbi Yitzchak said that clear drasha that we see that one does have to be Mechalb Pnei Rabbe v'regel. Not the Gemara says loy kasha. That's not a contradiction, because had the azul va'asav yemi. When did we say that there's a chiv to mekab pnei rabbi beregel? That's if you could go and come back on the same day, and then you'll be able to come back home and be rejoicing with your family. Then you can go ahead and visit your rebbe. For example, if let's say it was the city is within his tchum, or he has an eruv. Either way, he can go and come back on Yom Tov, so he could be rejoicing with his family. But Rabbi Eliezer was telling his student, was saying that you're out of the Tchum, you're coming and you're staying here. You came here from before Yom Tov because you can't walk on Yom Tov. That means you're not going to be this day of Yom Tov with your family. That's wrong, because I hold that you should be home rejoicing with your family. Yes, you should visit me, but only if you could go right back home. Now the Gemara continues with another story of Rabbi Eliezer, which will come related to what we had just mentioned before from Eliezer. So talk about the Melina Brisa. Meister Rabbi Eliezer, there was one time it happened with Rabbi Eliezer, Sheshavas Begalil Ha'elyon, he spent time in the Upper Galilee, B'sukkasi shel Yoichan Rabbi Eloi b'Kisari, it was in the Sukkah of Yoichan Rabbi Eloi in Kisari, V'amrila, and some say b'Kisari, and it was in Kisarian. Now, the Gemara later on is going to ask, how was Rabbi Eliezer there in someone else's Sukkah when he said, Mishabech and Esatzlan, I praise the lazy ones. In other words, one is not supposed to go away, as the Gemara will later on just show that this wasn't near where he lived, so how could he have been over here in someone else's Sukkah when he says you have to be home? Anyway, so it says that when they were sitting, Rabbi Eliezer was sitting there, and Yochanan was sitting there, and the sun was getting close to the sukkah. So Amaloi, so Yochanan said to Rabbi Eliezer, Mahu she'efres ole asada, what's the halacha? Could I spread out a curtain on top of the sukkah to provide shade so that the sun shouldn't come shining down on their head? Which his halachic query was, is it going to be forbidden because of the halacha of being meisif on oil arai on Shabbos? Or not? Is there a prohibition that this will be included, that you're adding on to a temporary oihel, a temporary tent, which is a sukkah, it's not a house. It's an oihel arai, which is a lower level building, but it's still somewhat of a building. And you're adding on, is that prohibited by putting on the curtain? Is that like you're adding on to the structure and hence forbidden or not? So Rabbi Eliezer told him, and now what he did was he ultimately distracted Yochanan. As Gemara later on will explain on the coming daf, that he never said anything that he never heard from his Rebbe. So therefore, although a halachic query was asked from him, he didn't want to respond because he'd never heard this directly from his teacher, and therefore he didn't want to say that it was forbidden or if it was proper. So instead he distracted him, and he said, "Ein lechol kol shevet v'shevet miYisrael." You know, there was never any tribes from the Jewish people, shleihemin mimena shevet, that never had one of the shevetim, didn't have a ruler over the Jewish people. That would say, that helped out the Jewish people, which that was the time period from when Yeshua passed away until Shmuel went and anointed Shaul as the king. Then there was what the period which was known as Shevetim, which we have from Yeshua, which was from Shevet Ephraim. We have Ehud, that was from Shevet Binyamin. We have Gideon from Menashe, which that takes the sons of Rachel. Then we have Shimshon from Shevet Dan. We have Barak from Naphtali, which that's the sons of Bilhah. Then we have Evtson, which is Boaz, which was from Shevet Yehuda. We have Eli, which was from Shevet Levi. We have Toila from Shevet Yisachar. And we have Elon Hazvulaini from Zvulun. Now Rashi says those are the ones that are explicit, that we know which Shvatim they were from. But Asniel, Yiftach, Shamgar, Yar, Avadin, he says he doesn't know the names of their Shvatim. And similarly, he says the Shvatim of Reuben, Shimon, Gad, and Asher, he says, I didn't find explicitly where, but this is what Rabbi Eliezer had told him. He says that every Shevet had one of the Shevetim that came from that Shevet. So, however, Higia Chama, then the sun got closer, started spreading closer, L'chatzei HaSukkah. It already came to halfway of the Sukkah. So again, Yochanan asked Rabbi Eliezer, Mao Shefers Allah Sadim, what's Allah? Can I spread out a curtain? You know, stop distracting me. I want to know, can we stop the sun from coming in? Someone again, he distracted him. He says, you know, there was never a tribe from the Jewish people that didn't have a prophet come out from them. And you know what? Shevet Yehuda Binyamin, the two tribes of Yehuda Binyamin, Hamidu Malachim Apinavim. They had kings that came out that were anointed through the prophets, which is a reference to Shaul and David, that were anointed as kings from Shmuel, who was a prophet. Now, again, he distracted him. But Hegiu Chamal Margalois of Rebbe Eliezer. The sun got so close, it was ready by the foot of Rebbe Eliezer. So he stopped asking questions. Natal Yechanan Sadin Upirzala. So he just took a curtain and he hung it up to provide shade that the sun shouldn't come on them. However, Hivshel Rebbe Eliezer Talisa Lacher B'Yatza. Rebbe Eliezer went, he took his cloak over himself, and he left the sukkah because he didn't want to permit it. He didn't want to be accomplice to this, but he didn't want to say it's Asa because he never heard. So he just got up and he left. Now, the Gemara explains that this that he kept on distracting Yechanan. It's not because he was just trying to push him away and they didn't want to teach him words of Torah as if he had something against him. It's just that he never would say over anything that he never heard from his Rebbe, and since he never heard this directly from his teacher, he didn't want to say, and therefore he didn't answer, and when the act was done, he didn't want to be a fait accompli, so he just went and walked out. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, Heicha Abed Hachi, this was the reason why we brought in this Braisa. How did he do this in the first place, that he was even in the sukkah in the first place? But Rabbi Eliezer said, in Yaitzim Sukkah L'Sukkah, that one is not allowed to go out from one sukkah to another sukkah. And therefore the question is, how did he take one Shabbos out of the Yom Tov of Sukkahs, that his sukkah was in Lud, because he lived in Lud, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that you go Acher Eliezer L'Lud, he lived in Lud, which was not in the Upper Galilee. So how did he go and spend Shabbos over there? It wasn't like he was just visiting and he was able to come back home. He said himself, you now leave from sukkah to sukkah. Now, how was he sitting in another sukkah? So that the Gemara answers. Regal Acher Havya, actually, although it says they were sitting in a sukkah, it was a different Yom Tov, like Shavuos. They were just sitting in a sukkah for the purpose of a hut, to have open, fresh air, but nothing to do with the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, so still the Gemara asks. Rabbi Eliezer said, and this is what we quoted before, Mishabech ani esatzlan, and I praise the lazy ones, shein yoitzin mibatein beregel, that they don't leave their houses on any Yom Tov, because you're supposed to rejoice with your family. What's he doing spending Shabbos, no matter what Yom Tov it is, in some other place? Especially that's his shita. But the Gemara answers, Shabbos havya. It was just a regular Shabbos. It wasn't a Yom Tov, and therefore there was no chiv of a samacht out of a secha, and there was no problem of going up from sukkah to sukkah. It was just a Shabbos, and therefore he was able to spend Shabbos wherever he wanted to. Now, however, the Gemara goes back to that incident and says, so he didn't want to respond because he didn't hear it directly from his teacher. But the Gemara asks, v'tif shalei midideh. He could have resolved the question from his own halacha, that wherever it is that he had that mesira, but that you cannot go ahead and put on the curtain over the sukkah, because it is forbidden to add on to an oil arai, to a temporary tent. And therefore, forget about that he didn't hear from his teacher. He knows it from a different halacha, and he could have said clearly that there is a problem with doing this, because he's being moisav on the oil arai, on the temporary tent, which is what a sukkah is, it's just a hut. You're still not allowed to put something which is adding on to the structure, which when you're putting on a curtain, it's adding on to the roof. It's not like, learn the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says, pekak hachaloin, the shutter of a window. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says, Bizman shekasher v'tale, when it's tied on and it's hanging there at all times, it's not just somewhere on the corner. So paikinbay, then you're allowed to go ahead and shutter the window with that. And the reason is, since it's standing there and it's prepared for that, so that's not considered like building or even adding on to the building, because it's there. It's like opening up a window shade or whatever it is. It's there. It's not adding on. But vimlav, Rabbi Eliezer said, if it's not tied on and hanging, then ain't paikinbay. Then you're not going to go ahead and shutter the window, because you're adding on to the closing of the oil by putting in the shutter. Yet the Chachamim, they argue, they say, no, benkach or benkach paikin. No, in either case, even if it's not kosher betoloi, you could still go ahead and shutter the window with that. But ultimately, the Gemara's question is, you see that one is not allowed to be adding on to even a temporary type of a closure which is taken on and off. You're still adding on. So why didn't he resolve it from his own halacha that he knows from elsewhere, that one cannot go ahead and put the curtain on top of the sukkah that he kept on asking him? Now the Gemara continues on top of Chav Chasim and Aleph. The Gemara says, no, because Hasam Hu Demevatel, that halacha regarding the Pekak HaChalin is different. Because there, when you put the shutter into the window, when you're closing it, you're nullifying it. In other words, you're considering it as part of the wall. Hence, that would be considered like being mice if you're adding on to the building, although it might not be a permanent thing, but for now, you're being mevatel, it's part of the structure. So that would be a problem why Rabbi Eliezer says if it's not tied on and hanging from it, that it would be forbidden. Aval hacha, but here by the curtain, by the bedspread, by the sheet, that we say testimony that we know to loy mevatel. He's not nullifying it to the sukkah because ultimately he's going to take it off. And therefore it wasn't so obvious for Rabbi Eliezer that he would be able to answer the question to say that it would be like meisav, like adding on, because they're very different in the sense that one is talking about that when you shutter it, this becomes part of the structure. You're leaving it here. You don't mind if it always stays here. You might not, but ultimately it's there to stay. But the curtain, the sheet, it's just there for temporarily because it's just that there's a lot of sun, but ultimately it's going to be taken off. And therefore, it wasn't so obvious to him that would be the same isser of being moisiv on the oil. And that's why he didn't answer, because he didn't hear it directly from his teacher. And therefore, maybe he could have assumed something, but he never said over something he didn't hear from his Rebbe. And that's why he didn't answer. And instead, when he finally did it, Yechanan did it, Rabbi Eliezer just walked out.